Could we commence our meeting tonight by singing the hymn 221? Come every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord, and he will surely give you rest by trusting in his word. We'll stand to sing, please. Really good singing. Can we come and ask the Lord to bless our time around his word tonight, and that the Lord may speak to our hearts. O God, our Father in heaven, we come into your holy presence tonight through our Savior and through that precious shed blood. And Lord, we thank thee for health and strength to come to another Sunday night evening to the gospel message. And Lord, we thank thee for the message that we have, that Christ receiveth sinful men. And Lord, we thank thee for all in the meeting. And they can say with the hymn writer, redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through his infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. They can say, it is well. It is well with my soul. But Lord, we would pray for those that would tune in. And those in the meeting that know you not as Savior, Lord, that this night the Holy Spirit would speak to their hearts, and Lord, that they would be drawn to yourself and come and trust thee as Savior. Lord, we thank thee for what we have been singing tonight. Only trust him, only trust him, only trust him now. He will save you. Hallelujah. He will save you now. O God, our Father in heaven, we thank thee, Lord, that you love this old sin-cursed world, that you sent your dear Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, we love thee because, Lord, you came into this world and, Lord, you took on human flesh. But we thank thee it was spotless, pure flesh. You are the God-man, the second person of the Trinity. And, Lord, we worship thee today. We thank thee, Lord, that you're sitting at the right hand of God the Father, ever making intercession for your people. We thank thee, Lord, that you've prayed for us today. And, Lord, we thank thee that you're there. But, Lord, we thank thee you're coming today, coming again. The Bible tells us there'll be a new heaven and a new earth, and we're going to reign with you. And sin and temptation and all will be gone. There'll be no more parting. Lord, we're going to reign with you. And Lord, we're going to be with you. Oh, we look forward to that day. What a day that will be. When my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face. The one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand. And he leads me through the promised land. What a day. Glorious day that will be. Lord, I pray that there'll not be one that hears my voice tonight that will be absent, that they'll be lost in a Christless eternity. Lord, they again tonight they'll reject your way of salvation. Oh, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you'll speak loudly. Speak to those that have tuned in. Speak to those in the meeting tonight that knows you're not a Savior, that they need to be ready. The Bible says that they need to come. Oh, Lord, I just pray that you'll speak loudly and undertake. Bless the singing of the hymns, the reading of your words. And Lord, again, we would remember the shut-in ones, those that would love to be in the meeting tonight. Lord, bless them and encourage them. Again, we would remember the Reverend McMillan and his two friends. Lord, keep them safe. And Lord, bring them back in safety. And Lord, may they come back with good news that you worked in Nepal. Now, Lord, take complete control of the meeting, and Lord, we'll give thee all the praise and all the honor and every bit of the glory, for you alone are worthy. Amen. We're turning to our second hymn tonight. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing flow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Hymn 224. Have you been to Jesus? We'll stand to sing, please.
Are you washed in
Mr. McMillan asked me to bring a message and song when I was here, so I'm just going to bring a message and song now. Where will you spend eternity? This question comes to you and me. Tell me, what shall your answer be? Where will you spend eternity? Eternity, eternity. Where will you spend eternity? Many are choosing Christ today, turning from all their sins away. Heaven shall their blessed portion be. Where will you spend eternity? Eternity, eternity. Where will you spend eternity? Leaving the straight and narrow way, going the downward road today, sad will their final ending be, lost throughout all eternity, 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 lost throughout all eternity. Turn and believe this very hour. Trust in the Savior's grace and power. Then shall your joyous answer be, saved throughout all eternity, eternity, eternity. Where will you spend eternity? Amen. Going to ask your brother to make the necessary announcements, please.
We welcome everyone to our evening gospel service, and if you're visiting with us, you're especially welcome, and we pray you know the leading and guiding of the Lord. And we again we welcome especially our preacher, Mr. Tommy Gilmore, an elder from the Martyrs Memorial Free Presbyterian Church in Belfast, and we've enjoyed his presence with us this day. The following are the announcements for the rest of the week. Monday, 10 a.m., the parent and toddler group in the church hall. 8 p.m., the ladies' meeting. Miss Margaret Russell will speak on our school's Sunday school program. Tuesday, 6:45 p.m., the children's bright hour in both the church and the band hall in Killaloe. Wednesday, 8 p.m., the prayer meeting and Bible study, the speaker, Mr. Andrew Irwin, a second-year Whitfield student from the Lisburn Church. Friday, 8 p.m., the youth fellowship, Speaker, Mr. Matthew Muldrow. Next Lord's Day, 23rd of October, 10:40 a.m., the Sunday School and Bible classes, 11:30 a.m., morning service, 6:30, evening service. There's a half hour of prayer before both services. Preacher of both services next Lord's Day, Reverend Kevin McLeod, one of our retired ministers. The Reverend McLeod will testify at the evening service. The amount collected at last Wednesday's deputation meeting for Reverend Angel Alvarez Fernandez came to £372.20. We thank everyone for their generosity. The latest editions of both the Let the Bible Speak Quarterly and the Watching and Waiting magazines are in the porch. You can have your copy as you leave the service. These are all the announcements. Thank you.
I do thank our brother for his words of welcome. It's been a real joy with you today. And could I thank the people this morning at the door who said that they were blessed by the message? It's an encouragement to me, and could I thank you for that? But there's two people I need to thank, Mr. and Mrs. Hewitt, who filled me up with food. I was telling them that Mr. Hewitt was preaching tonight and that Mrs. Hewitt was singing because I couldn't, because I had so much food into me. I'd like to thank them and for the time of fellowship that we had today. I really appreciated that. And it's a real joy and a privilege to be with you. I love coming to Armagh. As I told you this morning, I used to love coming down in the afternoon with Dr. Paisley. But this morning, as I travelled, I was able to see the bushes and the fields because normally we were flying past them. And again, it's a real joy. Your minister is a personal friend of mine. He's in the mission board with me. And you know, I remember him in prayer as he's in Nepal tonight. And I know that the Lord will bless their servant. We're going to turn to my favourite hymn tonight. And it's hymn 215, Years I Spent in Vanity and Pride. There's a wee man in Martyrs, and you call him Morris Allen. And Morris used to get things at the wrong time. He was a little man who was disabled. And he would call out things at the wrong time. One morning, Dr. Paisley said, "Brethren and sisters, I'm going across America for 2 months to preach." And Morris shouted out, "Hallelujah." And Dr. Paisley said, "There's one honest man." But you know, he loved this chorus. And when it came to mercy there was great and grace was free, Morris would shout, "Sing it!" I would love to do that some night in one of our churches. I've maybe tried my own church because some other people wouldn't like it. But we Morris, when we came to that years in Vanity and Pride, he loved that hymn. Could we stand and sing just to change your position before we turn to God's word?
Thank you.
Tonight, could we turn to 2 Kings chapter 5? 2 Kings chapter 5. And we're going to read a story of a man. A man that we have heard about in Sunday school. We're going to hear about a man who we've heard in children's meetings. A man who our mums and dads, as we sat at their knee, told us about this man. This man was called Naaman the leper. Naaman the leper. We're starting to read at verse 1. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. And he was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, Thus and thus said the maid, that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, Go to, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, and 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, Now this letter is come unto thee. Behold, I have therefore sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, and he rent his clothes and said, Am I a God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel with me. And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger out unto him, saying, Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth, and went his way, and said, Behold, I thought he would surely come out to me, and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike hand over the place, and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar rivers in Damascus better than the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith to thee, Wash and be clean? And then he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him. And he said, Behold, I now know there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore I pray unto thee, take a blessing off thy servant. But he said, As the Lord liveth, whom I stand, I will receive none. He urged him to take, but he refused. And we know the Lord will bless this reading of his own infallible word. Can we turn and ask the Lord to bless the reading of his word? Our Father, we thank thee for this story of Naaman. And Lord, as we look at it, hide me behind the cross. May none be seen but Jesus only. For we ask it all in thy wonderful name. Amen. Although Naaman was a great man in a great place, not only a rich man, a mighty man of valor, an honorable man, a favorite to his prince, the Bible tells us also that he was a leper. In the Bible, leprosy is a universal picture of sin. Naaman was as great as the world could make him. But in Bishop Hall's book, the lowest slave would not trade skins with this mighty man. Verse 2 tells us about a little maid taken captive out of Israel and became a maid to his wife. What a witness this little maid became. She could have put it into her heart and harbored. We are told that this little maid, one day, the great army of Syria came into Israel and took away captives. And one of them was this little maid. She was taken away from her family. She was taken away from the place where she lived. She was taken away down to a place that she didn't know. She was going to a new language. We're not told her name, but she's one of God's little witnesses for him who has a mighty reward in heaven. You would think that this little maid would have harbored something in her heart. When she heard that this man who took her away from her family had leprosy, wouldn't it not think, humanly speaking, she could have said, serves him right. It serves him right. He has taken me away from my family. I know where he can be healed, but I'm not going to tell him. But you know, there was something about this little maid. We are not told her name, but she's one of God's little nobodies who witnessed for the Savior. Very quickly tonight, I want to look at three things in Naaman's life. I want us, first of all, to see Naaman's miserable condition. Naaman's miserable condition. I want to see his mistaken conceptions. He thought he could come and be healed his way. And then lastly, I want to see his marvelous conversion. But first of all, I want to see Naaman's miserable condition. We are told in verse 1, his position in Syria, he was a captain of the host. He was the great general of the host. He was the head soldier in Syria. And you know, he went down to Israel, and we have heard how he took captive, and he took this little maid. He was a great general in that country. The Bible also tells us he was a great friend of the king. He was a friend of the king. He didn't have to ring up, or he didn't have to ask for an audience with the king. He could go in and see the king. You know, you and I will never maybe get in to see King Charles. But you know, if we did, we would have to ask if we could meet him. But this man didn't have to do that. The Bible tells us he was a great friend of the king. The Bible also tells us in verse 1, he was an honorable man. If you'd have done business with this man, if you'd have done business with him, and he bought something from your place, he would pay up. You wouldn't have to run after him. He was an honorable man. He would speak to you, and if he saw you, he would treat you. He wouldn't say, I'm a great general, I'm not looking down on this person. The Bible tells us he was an honorable man. But verse 1 also tells us he was a man of valor. There was no braver in Syria. And I'm sure as he rode about in his chariots, the little boys would say to their mommy and daddy, I want to be like that man, Naaman. I want to be a soldier like him riding about in the chariot. I want to be a mighty man like him. You say to me, Tommy, you said that we're going to look at his miserable condition. How could he be miserable condition when you tell us he's the captain of the host? Yes, he was. You tell us he's in a miserable condition and you tell us he's a friend of the king. Yes, he was. And then you tell us he's in a miserable condition and he's an honorable man. If you'd done business with him, he wouldn't try to wipe your eye or charge you any much more. Yes. You also tell us he was a man of valor. The young people used to look up to him as a great warrior, as a great champion, yes. But friends, read on in verse 1, and we read, but. Everywhere in the Bible you see the word but. there's something coming. But he was a leper. Naaman's leprosy had no respecter of person. I'm sure he would try to cover it up with the best of clothing. But at the end of the day, it was still there. And you know, friend, not only had he a disease called leprosy, he also had another disease, which was a killer. This leprosy, if it hadn't have been dealt with, could have killed this man. But you know, he had a worse disease in his life, and that disease was sin. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. You know, this man, all he wanted was to find how he could get healed physically. But he needed to be healed spiritually. But you know, the Lord had this little maid, a little nobody in his house. And she heard how this man had this leprosy. And she didn't harbor resentment. Rather, she wanted to see him healed physically. And not only healed physically, she wanted to see him healed spiritually. So she went to her mistress. And she said, if my Lord would go to the prophet down there in Samaria, God would heal him. The wife and the servants told Naaman. I want you to notice something about Naaman. Naaman didn't say, I'm not going away down to Samaria on the whim of this wee girl. What does this wee girl know? Am I going to take my whole chariot run down there? How does she know this man will heal me? Naaman must have seen something in her life. Remember, this little maid was from Israel. She served the Lord God of heaven. And when she was down there, I'm sure Naaman and his wife saw how she worked and saw how she worshipped the God of heaven. And he took countenance of this little girl. Oh, friend, he was in a miserable condition. Maybe tonight you that's tuned in, or somebody here in the meeting, and you're in a miserable condition. You say to me, Tommy, I haven't got leprosy. Yes, I know you haven't. But you have something worse than leprosy. You have sin in your life that has not been dealt with. And my Bible says the wages of sin is death. And as we heard this morning, the only way to get to heaven is through the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. You know, there's only one antidote for sin. And that antidote is the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. On that middle tree in Calvary, he took the sins of his people. The wrath of God that should have fell on the people of God fell on him. And my friend, tonight, if you are a sinner without Christ, you need to come and trust the Lord Jesus Christ. You're just in such a miserable condition as this man. What a miserable condition he was in. Tell me, are you in this condition? Have you looked? Have you listened to the warnings of God's servants that told you that you need to be saved? You need to be ready. You need to come to trust Christ as your Savior. He was in a miserable condition. But secondly, I want to see his mistaken conceptions. We read in verse 6, he went to the wrong person. He was told that he had to go to God's servant Elisha. And what did he do? He went to the king of Israel for cure. He was told to go to God's servant, but he went to the wrong person. He went to the king of Israel. And as the king of Israel read the letter from the king of Syria, he said, how can I help this man? Is this man trying to start a war with me? Is he trying to start a war again between Syria and Israel? I can't do anything for this man. And the Bible tells us he rent his clothes. You know, if you had a disease which was taking your life, and I knew a man that had an antidote, you wouldn't send somebody else. You would go running. You have the sin in your life, And the only one who can help is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the blood of Christ washes away all sin. The Lord Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. You know, there's men and women tonight, and they're trying to get to heaven their way. They don't want to come God's way. This man wanted to be cured his way. He thought that going to the King of Israel would have helped him. He didn't listen to the warning of the little maid who said to go to Elisha. And you know, sadly tonight, there are men and women in hell tonight, and they listened to the wrong person, and they went to the wrong person. The Lord Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I lifted a little book the other day, and it told a story about the war in America. And this soldier, it was a civil war, and this soldier got word from his wife that she was dying, and she wanted him back to the house. He went up to the captain, and he told the story. And the captain said, I'm sorry, you can't see the general. We're going to the front tomorrow, and they're all in making plans. You'll not be able to see the general. The soldier went out and was standing weeping under a tree. A little boy came up to him, and he said, sir, what's wrong? And the big soldier said, son, you wouldn't understand. But then he told him, he said, my wife's dying. I tried to get in to see the general to tell him the story, but I can't get in to see him. The wee boy smiled up. The soldier said, what are you smiling about? He says, I can get you in. He says, how can you get me in? He says, I am the general's son. I can get you in. And the Lord Jesus says to you tonight, my sinner friend, I can get you into heaven because I am God's son. I am the way, the truth, and the life. The little boy got the soldier in, and the general said, go down to your wife. He was able to go down to his wife. You know, he went to the wrong person. But I want you to know something else. He had the wrong price. The Bible tells us he took 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. He thought that money would buy him health and happiness. There are people depending on their soul salvation, on giving money to good causes, to the church, and to other things. Don't pick me up wrong. It is good to give money to causes. It is good to give money to help the church. But if you're depending on your soul salvation, it's wrong. Because the Bible says in Ephesians, for by grace are you saved, through faith, that not of your works. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. The late Billy Hamilton, who was our first caretaker in Martyrs Church, and I were doing door-to-door work on the Castlereagh Road. And we knocked this door, and the lady saw us, and the first thing she asked us, were we Mormons? And we said, no, we're here to present the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what she said to Billy and me? My minister has warned me against you people. This was a Church of Ireland caretaker. And we presented the gospel to her. And she said, do you think God would keep me out of heaven? Every weekend I go to my sister's farm and I bring a dozen eggs and I give it to the minister. Do you think God would keep me out of heaven? Billy and I went away with hearts sore. That woman was depending on her soul salvation by works, bringing eggs to her minister. Oh, friends, there's so many people in our land today, and they think they can work to heaven. They think giving the money into the church, giving things into helping other people, and again, don't pick me up wrong, Those are all right in their right way. But if you're depending on your soul's salvation, you're lost. Because the Bible says it's not of works. You know, neither is there salvation for there's no other name given among men. He went, it was the wrong price. But I also want you to notice, we have seen the wrong person, and he went, it was the wrong price. But in verse 11, it was the wrong procedure. We notice here, Naaman's pride. He drove up with his chariot to Elisha's house. And Elisha sent out one of the servants, and he said, tell Naaman to go and wash 7 times in the Jordan. And I can just see that mighty man. He's riding up in his chariot, and he's standing waiting for God's servant to come out. And it's just one of his servants. And Naaman was wroth. Does this man, Elisha, not know who I am? I am the great Naaman. I am the captain of the host of Syria. Why has he not come out and lay his hand over me? Who does he think he is? He sends out a common person to meet me. His rage came up. And you know, my friend, that rage got so hard that he was going to turn himself away from God's way. He said, are not the rivers of Abana and Pharpah and Syria, are they not nicer than this old Jordan, this old dirty Jordan? Why do I have to go into this? I can go to Syria. The rivers are far better. He wanted to go his way, not God's way. And the wrath came up. I read a little book the other day, and it told about a little maid called Molly. And Molly worked in one of the great houses in the centre of London. And Molly started to steal. And the owner's lady and Sir somebody saw this and were about to sack her. She started to go to Charles Spurgeon, the great Spurgeon, in London to the meetings. And when Spurgeon finished preaching, he would say, if there's anyone interested of getting saved, come into my office and I'll speak with you. Molly went in one night and she said, sir, and she told him the story. She said, sir, I'm about to lose my job. I'm stealing. I'm doing things that I shouldn't do, but I need to get saved. Can I be saved? And Spurgeon had the joy of leading Molly to the Lord. Sometime later, her employees saw a change in Molly's life, and they said they weren't going to sack her. The lady of the house said, Molly, what has happened? And she said, ma'am, I went to Spurgeon's meetings in London, and there the Holy Spirit showed me I was lost sinner, and I needed to get right with God. And in that meeting, I admitted that I was a thief, that I had sinned against God and had sinned against you. And she says, now I'm saved. That lady one Sunday night went to Spurgeon's meeting. She hid into the back because she was so well known. After the meeting was over, again, the great preacher said, anyone who wants to speak to me, please come in and speak to me. That great lady walked in, and Spurgeon knew her immediately. And he said, lady, so-and-so, if I had knew you were in the meeting, I would have given you a welcome. What can I do for you? And she told the story. And she says, we have seen a change in Molly's life. Can that happen to me? And Spurgeon said, it certainly can. But then she thought, she says, do I have to come the way that Molly came? Do I have to come the way Molly came? Spurgeon looked at her and said, dear, we've all had to come the way Molly came. The lady jumped to her feet. If I have to come the way Molly comes, I'll not come at all. In other words, she was saying, I'm too great than Molly. I'm not coming her way. And Spurgeon said, that woman went out the door and most likely into a Christless eternity. The pride. And here we see this man, his pride. And again, he had the wrong place. He was told by God's servant to go into the River Jordan and dip 7 times and he would be healed. But you know, this man, Naaman, was fortunate. He had servants who loved him. He had soldiers that would have done anything for him. And one of the soldiers or servants came and said, "Sir, if this man had asked you to do something else great, wouldn't you have done it? He just wants you to go into the river and dip 7 times. Now, I'm sure if Naaman had said to any of the soldiers or any of his servants, "I want you to go and dip in that river for me 7 times, he would still have had leprosy. He had to go in personally. And my friend tonight tuned in or in this meeting, you must come personally to the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't depend on your mother or your father or your husband or your wife or your children. You need to come personally to the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to come and say, "Lord, I'm a sinner. Wash me, cleanse me in the blood," and come his way. This man was fortunate that he had men that loved him. And what did the Bible tell us? He went into the river. And here we see finally his marvelous conversion. Go wash 7 times in Jordan. 7 in Scripture is perfection. If he had not yielded to God's word, sent out by God's servant, and went home in a rage, he would have still had the leprosy. And most likely, as that leprosy got worse, he would have had to leave his family. He would have to leave his country. And the lepers in those days were put into lepers' colonies. And he would have just died with nobody with him. But you know, he got the word. If he went into the river and dipped 7 times, he would be healed. You know, my friend, tonight, salvation is very plain. We're told to believe and be saved, repent and be pardoned, wash and be clean. Will you believe and be saved? Will you repent and be pardoned? Will you wash and be clean? Naaman had to go personally in. He had to go and dip 7 times. And the Bible tells us when he came up the 7th time, his skin was like a baby. He was healed physically. But praise God, when he went back to Elisha, we can also see his eyes were opened spiritually. Because he said, "I can now know there is only one God, and that is the God of heaven." He was healed physically, and he was healed spiritually, because he obeyed God's way of salvation. And friend, I have to be honest and true with you tonight. If you don't come God's way, you're lost. I am not saying that. The Lord Jesus Christ is saying that. You're lost. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." In 2 Peter we read, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Just in closing, some time ago, I lifted a little book and it told the story of 2 pensioners who were on the Balmoral estate during the time of Queen Victoria. The 2 pensioners lived in adjoining cottages, and both husbands died within a week of each other. So the 2 widows were living close together. One night, one of the widows fell out with the other one, and they had an awful row, and she said, "I'll never speak to that woman again. I'm going into my house, and I'm going to go, and I'll never speak to her." Round about 7 o'clock, her anger was boiling up, and she says, "I'm going to bed." As she went into bed, she heard footsteps walking down, and she heard a knock on the door. And she says, "I'm not opening that door to that woman. I want nothing to do with her." Then she heard She says she can knock all night. And then she heard, and then she heard the footsteps walking away. And then she fell asleep. The next morning, she woke up, and like everything, she says, it's my fault. And going up back in to make up with my neighbor. Of course, the both of them hugged each other and kissed each other and said, I'm terrible sorry. And the woman said, I'm terrible sorry. I didn't open the door to you last night. She says, I wasn't at your door last night. I'll tell you who was at your door. Queen Victoria was at your door. Queen Victoria would visit people. And she said she knocked, but you didn't answer. And then she said she knocked again, and you didn't answer. And she knocked again, and you didn't answer. And she walked away. That wee lady in her tract said, sinner friend, if you're reading this tract, Queen Victoria never, ever came to my door again. I never saw her. I never got a second chance. And she said, there's somebody, the King of Kings, is knocking on your heart's door. The God of heaven, who is the King of Kings, greater than Queen Victoria, and he's knocking at your heart's door. And you're saying he's not getting in. He knocks again, and you say he's not getting in. And he knocks again, and he doesn't get in. And then she said, sinner friend, be weary. The Bible says that my spirit shall not always strive with man. She said, I lost the opportunity of meeting Queen Victoria, but you could miss the opportunity of missing the King of Kings, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, friend, tonight in closing, this man Naaman was wise. He came God's way. He came God's way. You need to come God's way tonight. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Just put your name in there. That's what I done. If Tommy Gilmore called upon the name of the Lord, he shall be saved. Oh, come. You know, friends, we're going to meet Naaman. I'm going to be able to speak to this man. We're going to meet these people in heaven. And I'm going to be able to say to him, I spoke about you in Armagh. And we're going to talk to these people. The one that I'm looking forward to speak to, of course, is the Savior and my wife and my loved ones. But the other one I want to speak to is the dying thief. He was the only one that stood up for the Savior. Tell me, friend, will you be there? Will I meet you in heaven? Will I be able to say to you, do you remember the night I spoke in Armagh? And you'll say to me, that's the night I trusted the Lord as Savior. Friend, as you're tuning in the internet, read John chapter 3, and there you'll find how you can be saved. That great verse, for God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but hath everlasting life. As I said this morning, for God so loved the world, what a wonderful love that is. It's the greatest love that ever came into this world, that he gave his only begotten Son. It's the greatest gift that we've ever seen, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but hath everlasting life. That's the greatest ever salvation, and you can have it tonight. Will you come? Will you come? I plead with you, just come to the Savior. We're going to close our meeting tonight by singing the hymn 279, Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry, while on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry, while on others thou art passing, do not pass me by. We'll stand to sing, please.
Oh,
O God, our Father in heaven, we thank thee for the story of Naaman. And we thank thee, Lord, that he was healed physically, but he was also healed spiritually. And Lord, I pray as man's voice is silent, that you, the Holy Spirit, will deal with those that know you're not a Savior. And Lord, that you'll draw them to yourself. Now, Lord, take us to our homes in safety and spread thy covering wings around till all our wandering cease. And at our Father's blessed abode, our souls arrive in peace. Amen.